God is the potter, and we are the clay. Behold, as the clay is in the hand of the potter, so are we in the hand of God. This is Potter's Apostolic Ministries, Kaduna, bringing God's word with power through the prophetic teaching and preaching of Reverend Ezekiel Joseph Kumin. As you listen, be empowered.
We began a journey yesterday and as far as Jesus is concerned, your enterprise of prayer will prosper to the extent to which you have received the revelation of God as Father. And so we have been making attempts at identifying what the chartered personality that has the stature to unveil the Father has said about his Father. Romans chapter 8, quickly, if you have your Bible. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we'll begin our reading from verse 13. Romans 8, verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. It is through the spirit of adoption that we can claim ownership of a God that decided by an act of his sovereign will to first reveal himself to the Jew. Or we can claim ownership of that God much more than the Jew, because we have received a spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption provides a very interesting personal basis of intimacy wherewith he becomes our Father experientially. And as far as Jesus is concerned, your enterprise of prayer is going to prosper to the degree to which your experience of this reality of adoption finds expression in your life. And so when Jesus was introducing the subject of prayer, the first thing that he brought to our notice in the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 9 is our Father. And that is supposed to be his response to a request for him to teach the subject of prayer just like John taught his disciples. He began with our Father. And so we have been looking at what Jesus said about his Father in view of the fact that the Bible reveals that only the Son knows the Father. Only the Son can reveal the Father. The Father is only known by the Son, and the Father can only be revealed by the Son. And so we need to go into Scripture to find out what Jesus has said about the Father. Yesterday we saw that our Father happens to be a God that sees in secret. It was in this exploration that we found the word hypocrite. Hypocrite became a functional word in our research, in view of the fact that the God that we are talking about sees in secret, but he rewards openly. Meanwhile, the hypocrite wants men to see him. He wants to receive glory of men. And we saw that it is possible to be a hypocrite in your giving, a hypocrite in your prayer, a hypocrite in your fasting. So there are several kinds of prayer that are prosecuted from the hypocritical model. That kind of prayer does not give you cognizance to the fact that God sees in secret. That prayer is a means of attracting attention. It's a means, it's a display on the theater, on the platform. That kind of prayer doesn't have the capacity, even though it might be done with so much physical energy, it doesn't have the capacity to strike a chord where it matters. And if you can be a hypocrite for a long time, such that your prosecution of ministry is configured according to hypocritical principles, it may suggest that you have never met the Father. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Alright, so we are going to make a little progress. We'll bring another factor that Jesus spoke about. And that will be in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. If you are there, you may wish to say amen. Okay. Matthew chapter 6 verse 7 to 8. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. You know, this morning we're talking about the way of the heathen. This is another practice, this is another hedonistic practice. One of the hedonistic practices is that they look, they are dismayed by the signs of heaven. Are you with me? You don't seem to be present. They are dismayed by the signs of heaven. I told you about a particular group. When they pray, they wait for night, the night time. And then they go to check the star, the alignment of the star, to give them a perspective on the impact of their prayer. That's the hedonistic practice, according to Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1. So I had to preach a sermon, the way of the hidden, to see how many hedonistic practices we have adopted in church without knowing. And we are running it on that scale and expecting an intervention from the God of heaven. And Jesus said, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the hidden do. What motivates them to continue in this kind of model is because of their thinking. They think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So they have a paradigm, a thinking model that makes them believe that this is the most effective approach to prayer prosecution. It says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things as ye have need of before you ask him. The second thing we see about the Father here is that he knows. Your Father does. He does what? He knows. Now the average believer in this hall thinks that prayer is an informative venture. So God does not know about your condition. You need to pray in order to inform him. Meanwhile, what was wrong with the hedonistic approach of prayer that resulted in vain repetitions? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
It's a thinking. A wrong kind of thinking. And so you can have a wrong kind of thinking that God has no knowledge except you inform him, and that becomes the basis of your prayer enterprise, that your thinking is wrong and your approach cannot be right. Because we have lost sight of the personality that we are trying to engage in the place of prayer. He is a colossus. He is the modicum of knowledge himself. Have you heard the testimony of Hannah? She says, "Speak no more exceeding proudly, let not arrogance be found in your mouth." According to King James English. For our God is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Those are experiential declarations. She didn't know that before. She had the experience that she went through, and the result of the experience was encapsulated in that offense. You remember Jonah? After Jonah had the experience he had, wisdom had ministered to him in his sojourning. And he encapsulated the experience in one sentence. He said, "They that observe lying vanities, they forsake their mercy." That was not a rhema from the shelf. It came through a process. Our God is a God of knowledge. The average perception of the believer you might find on the streets is that prayer is an informative engagement. You need to come and tell God before he will know. Then when he now knows, he makes provision to respond to you. Sorry, that's not the case. The case is that God knows. In fact, he knew before the problem resulted. But the question is this: how do you relate with a God that knows? How can you impress a God that already knows? Why then is prayer necessary if he already knows? These are the things we should think about. Because the problem with the hedonistic approach is that there is a thinking that is not accurate. It produced a model that is not even recognized. Are you with me? So in view of the context, in view of the fact that God knows, we now have a style of intercession which Jesus named. He called it vain repetition. Vain repetition, as we have seen clearly, is a result of what you're thinking. Now, we're going to take time to explain vain repetition, because you might find out now what you have been doing for the past 12 years in the name of prayer is resulting from a wrong thinking. And if we classify it, you might discover it is best classified as a vain repetition. In this particular exposition, Jesus is saying that you can have activity that is useless in the corridor. An activity that you have sustained for years that doesn't strike any chord, because you are not aware of the fact that we serve a God that knows. Come with me. I think we need to use the long route. The long route will be better. The long route leads us to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 33. That's the long route. How do you deal with a God that knows? How can you order your prayer enterprise that will satisfy a God that is already aware? Do you have a ready answer for that? He's already aware. So, how do you structure your prayer model to accommodate that fact? In prayer, is not informative. How do you do that? Have you thought about that? Matthew chapter 6 will do the long route. Verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they do not sow, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father, what? Knoweth that ye have need of all these things. This scripture, we are going to look at it this evening. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, I pray God you will give us utterance, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, we spoke yesterday, we talked about prayer answered and prayer reward. See, this what they said is coming is an addition. It's not something that you strive for, but there's an orientation that you must maintain. There must be something that you must be busy about. Then you begin to see the automatic operation system of heaven's economy. First, this is Jesus speaking. If you have a good Bible, they are all in red letters. And the first thing Jesus said is, take no thought for your life. Suddenly you might think that Jesus is saying, be careless. You might think so. But I need to explain what Jesus meant by that statement. Take no thought of what you should eat, what you should drink. Take no thought of saying, wherewith shall I be clothed? Alright, I need to open up that scripture. Take no thought. In attempting to open it, we need to go to Philippians chapter 6, verse 4. Huh? 6 verse. Philippians 4, 6. Are you with me? Do you have NIV version in your... Where's the media man? Let me see his face. He's down there. Okay. He's far away from me. Alright. I want to... If he's falling asleep, I want to have a means of restoring him. The reason why I chose NIV is because There is a word used there, anxious. Whereas King James says, be careful for nothing. NIV strikes it directly and says, do not be anxious about anything. So, go back to King James Version. We'll just substitute anxiety for careful. And then we can now have the strongest meaning from that verse of scripture. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your request be made known unto God. This pulpit, we want to name it anxiety. This speaker, we want to name it, why are people anxious in Kaduna? Okay, house rent. This speaker is called house rent. Alright? And then, this speaker is called hypertension. Are you following? There's one thing the devil is aware of. The devil is aware of the fact that you were created insufficient. As smart as you look, sister, you are a bag of insufficiency. You look on top of the situation like the stallion of Union Bank. God said in his word in the book of Romans chapter 8, he said the spirit helpeth our infirmities, indicative of the fact that we are a bag of infirmities. You know, the infirmity is not infirmity. Infirmity. And we were created like that. You see, you look on top of the situation. Look as if you are in charge. You know what the devil will wait for? He will wait for a situation where you are overwhelmed by a challenge that you don't have an answer for mentally. You have checked the storehouse of your resources, mentally, financially, and all the resources available at your disposal, and you just discover that you cannot deliver upon what is calling for attention. Suddenly, your insufficiency will begin to speak. Now you are balanced, you don't have any challenge. But there's a circumstance that will come that will unveil your insufficiency. You see, if you are a swimmer, you can be swimming in the sea, swim close to a shark, you have no interaction with the shark. But if you start bleeding, you attract the shark. It's not as if you don't need to go to where the shark is. The shark will come to you. Are you with me? Anxiety. Eh? That thing they call anxiety. Those are the, if we want to categorize demons, those are the basest of demons. But anxiety will not navigate in your direction until there's a circumstance that has unveiled your limitation. House rent, and then there's no provision. You cannot imagine where the 250,000 will come from for you to renew your rent. And then there is a signal that you begin to emit from your soul, which is worry. And that signal is far-reaching. It will call anxiety. If anxiety is at the NFPC side, it will navigate in your direction because it is sensitive to anxiety, sensitive to worry. You know what? When anxiety comes, it has a protocol to administer. Anxiety has an assignment. The assignment of anxiety is to show you how vulnerable you are under that circumstance. Anxiety will show you a picture of the day you will be evicted from home. And your daughter, you are holding your daughter like this. And then as you are still outside trying to redeem yourself, then the heavy rain of Kaduna will visit you with your television there. Anxiety will show you that picture. The purpose of anxiety is to bring you to a point where you are defeated in your soul. And you know that if you are not defeated in your soul, you cannot be defeated on the ground. You will still be fighting. So anxiety makes it easier for the devil. He comes and preaches to you, and anxiety is a familiar spirit. It's a familiar preacher. The way we preach, the message is accurate with the context. And the purpose of the message of anxiety is to bring you to a point where you are defeated inside. So you don't need a battle to decide the outcome of the conflict anymore. You surrender before the battle comes. That's what anxiety comes to do. So, what triggered the situation? How strength triggered the situation? Anxiety took advantage of your circumstance because your insufficiency was manifested. Anxiety knows that he cannot deceive you for long, so he needs to bring other supporters into your domain that will help maintain your defeat. So anxiety will bring depression. It's a very close relative. It's also an elemental. He knows that depression too cannot deceive you for too long, so it brings infirmity. From anxiety to what? Depression to what? Infirmity. A spirit of infirmity. And then that your worry becomes something that affects your body. So this is infirmity. Are you with me? House rent cannot cause infirmity. Have you ever heard somebody that became sick because of house rent? But this one, anxiety. And the proof that you are under the majestic influence of anxiety is that you begin to take thought. You take thought for your life. Where will the house rent come from? When you are become a philosopher, you are already a victim of anxiety. That state of taking thought is what we call an orphaned state. That's what happens to an orphan. Someone that loses his parents to headsmen. Now, you are not following. That personality will sit down and there's so much hopelessness. And what is the reaction? Taking thought. It's a state of orphanhood. Now, Jesus now says, you know, when Jesus wanted to leave, they began to take thought. So he said, okay, I will not leave you comfortless. In Greek, is I will not leave you as orphanus, as orphans. So God is against you being exposed, being uncovered to the extent that you begin to think yourself an orphan. You begin to function like an orphan. So Jesus now said, take no thought for your life. That means, do not ever become a victim of anxiety. Because you will notice in this scripture that the very reason for which anxiety can prosper in your life are the same reasons for which you are enjoined to pray. Notice that be anxious for nothing is a command. It's not a suggestion. The same house rent that exposed your infirmities and took you down a strange path, that same challenge was supposed to be a platform for you to engage prayer. You see, according to scripture, the Bible does not recognize the terminology prayerless. I don't know if you still use it. I stopped using it a long time when I found it was not in the Bible. And what I mean is, the opposite of a prayerful person is not a prayerless person. There's nothing like prayerless. Okay. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Where is Luke chapter 18, verse 1? The Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always, what? To pray and not to faint. An entire parable was dedicated to illustrate this matter. One parable. The The goal of the parable was to unveil how that man, you are not following. This is a prescription for humankind, for humanity, that humankind was designed as an object of priesthood and prayer. That's the design. Are you with me? That's your design. God put you in this world because he knows that in this world you cannot get by without discovering the capacity of prayer. And just in case you have lost alignment in prayer, one of the major objectives of your creation has been compromised, because men were designed as objects, as tabernacles of prayer. Meanwhile, there were men ought always to pray and not to faint. The fainting part of this scripture is the product of the ministry of anxiety. So the opposite of prayerful is faint. Not prayerless. It's nothing like that. Fainting is the opposite of what? Prayer. Can you see it? So that state of fainting is what Jesus was trying to reveal in his practicality. It is revealed by thought taking. It's an orphaned model of life. Have you ever been there? When you felt hopeless, you felt there was no hope. In order for you to get there, anxiety played a major role on your heart to expose you to depression. And if you are not helped quickly, some demons will enter into the space. It will take many years to undo that reaction. Meanwhile, all of that is happening to you because you refuse to follow the commandment that says, be anxious. I've met some people before that cannot even pray. That it can't. It will not. It doesn't feel that subscribing to prayer is one of the possibilities that is available for her. That, on that particular specimen, anxiety has done over time. And so she doesn't have any iota of confidence in God anymore, because anxiety preached some superlative, familiar messages that captured her context and delivered her to perpetual state of defeat. And she has said, and she has been musing in that status quo for so many years that she can no longer consider the possibility of operating outside of that prison yard of fainting. Meanwhile, an entire parable was dedicated to this end, that men, humankind, ought always to pray and not. Now, with that scripture, you will know if you are operating as ordained. That scripture will give you some insight. We can talk, but we cannot pray. It is natural to talk, it's not natural to pray. You can gossip in the night, talk about people's head, that the head is like this. And you are describing the head to 3 a.m. in the morning. But when you want to speak to a spirit, you need to be energized to do so. Because the book of Psalms, chapter 18, says, quicken us and we shall call upon thy name. He said the only two options available to humankind, you are either praying or fainting. Nothing like prayerless. There's no middle line in this matter. It's either prayer forms you, or anxiety makes you a creature that is totally orphaned from help from God. Jesus now says, take no thought for your life. He's trying to say, don't become a victim of anxiety, of the impact of anxiety. Have you gotten there? I've seen many people that lost loved ones, like lost parents, and anxiety took advantage of that situation as they were, and then gave them thoughts, and they took the thoughts. They took the thoughts and made it their own thoughts. Meanwhile, those thoughts were demonic thoughts coming through a demonic spirit. They accepted the thoughts and made it theirs, because anxiety comes to sell thoughts to you. And they adopted the thoughts and made it their own thoughts. And anything that wants to fight the thought and take the thought away, they will fight the thing. I've seen that in the lives of many believers as I travel across our nation. Don't forget vain repetition. We are still coming here. So he said, therefore, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, and what you shall drink, and wherewith shall ye be clothed. So don't sustain that thought. That thought is not coming from you, it's coming from anxiety. Don't take the thought, don't accept it, don't make it your own. That's what Jesus started by saying. Can we go back to our scripture? Verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6, as we begin to build from there. Hallelujah. Matthew 6:25. Now, you see, Jesus does something here that we need a little physics to understand. I tried to find out how to explain this, and there's no other way to explain it except we consult physics. One of the first topics you are going to study when you begin to take up elementary physics is measurement. And in order for you to do measurement, you will need an instrument to do measurement. You either need a ruler, you need a barometer, you need a thermometer, you need an instrument for measurement. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you today that if you have engaged an instrument for more than 8 months, the instrument is wrong. Whether medical instruments, you use your stethoscope, you use all those your stuff for some time, you will need to go back for recalibration. Because the readings you are going to be getting from the instrument are going to be wrong. One day I went to the hospital, my mom said, because she's a nurse, say, let's go to the hospital. Oh, okay, no problem. And then we went there, and a doctor that was doing housemanship took my blood pressure. According to the blood pressure, I was dead. I was already dead. According to the readings, all the instrument, death had come upon me, and I did not realize it. Meanwhile, it was an instrument. It had not been recalibrated for since the days of Mungo Park. It's been used like that. You know how many people they have told I have attentive on the strength of the readings that came from that instrument. So only God will help us in the name of Jesus. So such an instrument, hallelujah, such an instrument must be taken to the lab. In the lab we have what is called the master instrument. You compromise your field instrument with the master instrument and then you recalibrate it. Now, so what Jesus was attempting to do here, the name is called recalibration. We're going to bring some things from the field and we're going to compare and contrast it with the master instrument so that we can all get recalibrated. This is what I mean by my physics. In the recalibration exercise, Jesus will ask 3 questions. It's part of recalibration. So I need the secretary to be capturing my questions. So you will be my secretary. Alright. He said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Then there's the question. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Write that down. We'll soon come to those questions. He asked a couple of them in this scripture. The purpose of the question is recalibration. It's trying to readjust your instrument of perception. As long as your instrument of perception has 40 readings, and anxiety is saddled with the responsibility from the kingdom of darkness to adjust your instrument of perception to a point where the readings are no longer accurate. So Jesus brings some questions, calibratory questions, and then he begins to ask those questions. The intention is that he wants to calibrate your instrument so that it will be in conformity with the master instrument. All right. Yes. I don't know what you have done to blind the ministry of this man, but anything you did, undo it. You discuss among yourself and make sure it is undone. All right. Okay, come here. Are you with me? Oh my God. You are not? See, we are still collecting. I say I chose the long route. We are still collecting data. Then the time will come where we will now gather the data together. You will see where. Stay with me. Just stay. Okay? All right. Jesus gives us a recommendation, and the recommendation is, behold the fowls of the air. And I need to tell us why he did this. We saw it yesterday that after the fall, I don't want to hear that boom. Where did that boom? Maintain the progression you have been playing since I came. Don't create any. Leave me and my man. We understand ourselves. Just don't create a scheme. Don't say that this is why we came here. This is it. No, you are already going out. Yeah. The instrument is losing the calibration already. Already drifting. So come back home. Listen, you know, yesterday we talked about the fall, the impact of the fall. And one of the implications of the fall is that the manual that was supposed to regulate the visible creation was withdrawn. Is that true? Today I've come to say that the impact of the fall on each creature was different. It's just like, don't raise the volume. I will tell you when to raise it. Please endure me. This is how I teach. What is up? Something is happening today. Today is a high day, so we need to get it right. Listen. Most of you know Peace Mass Transit. Which one do you know here? Does peace come here? Peace comes here. I think that's the, in terms of transportation, movement of people, that seems to be like the top on the list. Imagine that how many-seater bus? 18-seater. Okay, Peace normally uses 18-seater bus. Imagine in an 18-seater bus, there's a ghastly motor accident. Three people in the bus die. Four break their thigh bones. One broke his skull and the brain was seeping out. And then the rest, four came out of the bus without a scratch. Now, were they all in the bus? The same thing happened to all of them, but the result was different. That's how it happened to creation. When man rebelled against God, the entire physical civilization was fractured. But the impact of the fracture on each creature was different. Some creatures did not have any impact at all. Are you with me? Are you with me? For instance, the fowls of the air were not affected by the fall. They maintained their original purpose. So when Jesus was saying to us to go and behold the fowls of the air, God did that in order to leave a witness that even in the chaos that was the result of a fall, some creatures were kept in their standard gauge mode. And every time you see them, they point to the fact of a paradise, the reality of a paradise that humankind cannot imagine anymore. But they point to that paradise, the paradise of Adam. And God said, Jesus, can you see? He said, behold the fowls of the earth. The reason why Jesus is taking us back to the lab, these are the master instruments. They were not affected by what? By the fall. So he wants us to go back to the lab to behold the master instruments and then to take our own orientation based on the way they operate. This is what we learn from the fowl. The Bible says that they sow not, neither do they reap. They do not gather into banks. They don't have bank accounts. No storage facility. No silos. No store. They have never been on the Olam farm. Olam. Never been there. Meanwhile, the Bible says, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. He's not a father to the birds, the father to you, your own heavenly Father. They survive on his philanthropy. And they are confident that his philanthropy will never end. Meanwhile, he's a heavenly Father to you. But because anxiety has come to manipulate the perception range, you cannot benefit from your heavenly Father in this regard. And so the fowls of the air, they are multiplying based on his excess, the superfluity of his bounty. They are surviving on that. And their existence has been sustained without sowing, without reaping, and without gathering into banks. Second question of recalibration. Are ye not much better than they? I would like you to ask yourself that question. Because some of you here, anxiety is already preaching to you and you are already accepting gradually. Although you cover it with us. But anxiety has gotten deep. And the second question is this. Are ye not better than the birds? When you wake up in the morning and you hear the birds sing. The birds do not eat before they sing. They sing before they eat. They are solved. They are good at the fact that they could wake up that day. Wow, today is settled. Then they sing. They sing to your heavenly Father. When last did you wake up with a song? You wake up with grievances, burdens. Anxiety did a good work on you overnight. And in the morning, you will start the day by taking thought. Please help me ask your neighbor, are you not better than the birds of the air? Whenever Satan wants to make me take thought, I tell myself the answers to these questions. Just take those capsules. Take those three capsules, you'll be okay. I tell myself how that I'm better than the birds. And every time I see a bird, even though I may not say it physically with my mouth, I know that I'm better. That is the fall that brought us to that base level where anxiety can master us. We were chieftains in the paradise of Adam. The fall made us. But Jesus came to recalibrate us so that we can sustain the original reading of the instrument. I am better than the birds. That's part of the tonic you must take every day. Yes, it helps to strengthen you and it gives you immunity to the spirit of anxiety. I am better than the birds. Can we try that? It's a drill that you need to sustain. I am better than the birds. The way you said it, there's no faith. It's like nursery rhyme. You know, we send our children to school, they recite nursery rhyme, they don't believe in it. That's what we are. But I know for sure that I am better than the birds of the earth. That's the second question of recalibration. Okay, let's go. Next verse. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? This is the third question of recalibration. Have you been able to add one cubit? Have you been able to add one hair, either white or black? Maybe your invention, you at least you were not able to develop black hair, but you develop white. He said, have you been able to add a cubit to your stature? Jesus is trying to reveal the futility of taking thought. When I read through this scripture and the revelation came to me, I saw, are you with me? A man that is defeated in his soul cannot pray. He cannot pray. He cannot pray. So in order for you, and the devil does, he samples all of us most times midnight before morning, and puts us in a state where it will be difficult for you to exercise and engage your spirit. What you need to do is to take the tonic of recalibration. I am better than they. Yes, I take those tonics. And when I take those tonics, I'm released. My spirit becomes lighter. Then I know that by taking thought, I cannot add one cubit to my stature. I cannot add one hair to my head without white or black. It's a waste of time. Makes me think. And all of these permutations are to bring us to a point where we shut the door to anxiety. If we can shut the door to anxiety, oh my God, you will not know how much capacity you have sitting in your spirit. That you will not know how much changing has taken place in your life by the influence of that elemental force. That spirit. Many of us have given in. We have surrendered. What he's asking now, how many of you can add one cubit to your stature? Third question of recalibration. I hope you wrote it down. Good. Okay. Move on. And why take it off for raiment? The recalibration material for raiment is the lilies of the field. If they consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. They don't visit textile companies. Is there any textile company here still working, still functional? The reason why the textiles are no longer functional is because he is subscribing to us the way of the lilies. He said they don't spin. We don't need to spin in Kaduna. He said, yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, this is the conclusion. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, the grass will only be on the field for 3 months before the dry season begins to come. And God has time enough, he has resources enough to garnish it just for 3 months. After 3 months, the hunters will put fire on it. That is the way of the grass. It will be consumed in flames. But for 3 months, our Heavenly Father has time to clothe it, to give it a certain kind of majesty, so that when you look upon it, oh, he has time for that. He has time for the details. He has time for the grass. And it will only shine for 3 months. And it will go into the oven. Fourth question. He said, if he could do that for the grass, he said, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. So we see what anxiety is attacking. The mission of anxiety is to make you faithless. And a man that is faithless cannot communicate with a God that he cannot see. These are demonic spirits that have been set against your prayer enterprise. And when you use those questions of calibration, what you are doing is that it helps your faith instantly. It resuscitates it. I don't know where you are today. And I don't know what anxiety has done to you. Give her a microphone. Let her start with the first question. We need to take these pills. There are 4 pills for you every morning. Just like the bird will wake up and sing before it begins to look for food. You need to carry out this therapy. The therapy that ensures that anxiety does not work with you into that day. Because the same reasons for which anxiety has an occasion to attack you are the same reasons for which you should pray. So you are either praying or you are fainting. And these recipes were generated by Jesus to ensure that we shut the door to anxiety and our faith level is potent enough to engage an unseen God. Yes, first question.
Question number one.
Yes.
Is not the life more than meat?
It's not your life. Is it not more than meat? It's not more than.
And the body remaineth.
Is your body not more than raiment? Is your life not more than food? Have you seen a man that ate so much that they gave him a trophy? And say, we are honoring you for your capacity, your ability to consume the food of the land. Or have you heard in recent times that somebody died of hunger in Kaduna? Died of hunger. That he's about to die now. He's hunger. He's hunger. He's hunger. Is not your life more than food? Is not your body better than raiment? Those are the simple techniques of killing every form of covetousness. You see somebody wearing a particular shoe and then you feel that your life will no longer be okay if you don't find that shoe. Use this pill. Is not your life more than meat? Is not your body more than raiment? It will neutralize that. You need to take the therapy, if not to be a victim of anxiety. Anxiety eats into your faith like a canker. Gets you to a point where you are destitute. You are praying like Elijah prayed for him to die, because there's nothing to live for him. You yourself will utter sentence and judgment over your life, because anxiety has walked a curious walk on your soul. Is not your body more than raiment? I had 2 trousers at a point, and one day Satan grew angry. They stole one, and it's not the bad one they stole. They stole the good one. And then anxiety came and said, when I hang the trouser, breeze will blow it just to show me that there's only one left. You think we do like this? And then anxiety will preach. Anxiety is a good photographer. It will give a capture a snapshot and use it in your mind to preach a sermon. That does this look like the wardrobe of a man that will affect nations? When those intellectual juggernauts begin to play on your mind, take a capsule. Is not life more than food? That asks anxiety back. Is not your body more than raiment? When you release this missile, anxiety will go and come back after another season. I don't know if somebody's here. And maybe you have been battling with anxiety. Battling. Because it has crept in. And it wants to make you captive. These are the four caps. What's the next cap?
Question 2.
Yes.
Are ye not more better than they?
He's talking about in comparison with the best. The best, they wake up in the morning and say, oh! And you wonder, these ones, don't they have bad dreams in the night? Don't they encounter nightmares and things appear to them with pop? A pastor made me so well that all his dreams are warfare. That this night he saw Satan with a long pop. Saw Satan. With a long pop. I am better than the best. If you believe it, say it with boldness. I am better. Anxiety can give you an explanation for your defeat. It will tell you that it's because of your dad married 3 wives. And one of them was the daughter of an Ezemo. That's why you're like that. Jesus never gives us any basis to have an excuse. Check his teaching. That your covenant with God is sufficient to help you deploy the message that God has bound in your soul, in your calling. Irrespective of your context. Irrespective of who lived or who died. Somebody is still carrying the baggage of the fact, my dad died. Excuse me. Huh? We are not alone in that group. We are many. and it's not all of us that ended up like you. Some of us, when he died, responsibility came upon our soul. And we knew that we were exposed to God's direct hand of parentage. The same things happen to us. We go to the same market. We the same hospitals in Angwarimi. Those are the same hospitals there. But some people have lived above the circumstances. Not because they are favored in any way. It's because they believe in the words of Jesus. I am better than they. I am what? I'm better. Especially when somebody dies, these spirits go around and they whisper and say, you will end like that too. And often we begin to think. And when you think like that, your capacity to pray has been cut off. So you need to deal with that issue so that your faith can be in the proper place to engage the reality of a God that your physical senses cannot relate with. Third question.
Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?
Which of you? Mommy, that one is for you. Yes. Your thinking, can it add one cubit to your stature? Stop thinking. Cannot add any. It's a futile mission. It expects. It will not add one cubit to your stature. It will not add one strand of hair to your head. But the devil puts us in this kind of zoos and he preoccupies us for 35 years. When you check the clock, you find out that you are old in the pool of taking thought. And you never live to exercise your call in God. And all of this has been designed to fight your faith. So that you will not see the majesty of the God that you are related to by redemption. The question still stands. How do we relate with a God that knows. The answer is there. By faith. We trust that he is not a man that he should lie. We trust that he is not a son of man that he should repent. If God wanted to say something, he says it the way he wants it from the beginning. He doesn't need to adjust anything he has said, because he doesn't use words like men do. He doesn't lie. And he has never seen a situation that will make him repent. God cannot be guilty of child abuse. It's the same God that said that a father that cannot prepare, provide for his household is worse than an infidel. And he cannot sustain that status. But your faith can deprive you from enjoying that economy. And that's why anxiety will never leave your case. The anxiety will build your life. You will always have an issue that will make you compatible with anxiety. But when you break out, and you break free, and you come to that place, that steady land, that island where you can trust in your God, then your sonship begins. Your life in the spirit takes a different turn. And then you know that the problem is not that God does not know, neither is it that God doesn't have the resources to prosecute your business. If you have that assurance, there is only one way that we can be sure that you have that assurance. Because if I'm sure that the one that called me, before he called me, made provision for my calling. Don't you think so? Before a reasonable person will execute a project, the person makes provision. So that as you are going, you'll be able to prosecute the project and fulfill the needs that arise. God knows that better. So before he called me, he made provision for me. And because I am sure he has made provision for me, I don't need to see the provision before I go on the errand. That's a proof that I'm relating with a God that knows my life of faith. And a man that doesn't have a life of faith cannot have a life of prayer. Because the life of faith is the premise upon which the life of prayer is built. He said, for all these things to the Gentiles speak. And your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Are you with me? If you are aware that your God knows and your God is capable, the only major preoccupation you will have is to fulfill what is required of you from his kingdom, knowing that supply has already made arrangement for, provision has already been arranged for, capacity has been arranged for, the anointing has been arranged for. Yeah. So I seek first, even before the manifestation of the things come, because I'm a man of faith, I can go about meeting God's need when my own needs are not yet met, because I have faith. Right? So when that guy that seeks first the kingdom of God now comes to God and prays and says, God, let there be no rain so that I can finish this task. Be ready for drought. The guy is not asking for no rain because of his own purposes, not because of his own agenda, but he's asking for no rain so that his kingdom mission can be accomplished. He is powerful in prayer because he knows his God. He's a God that can support him, that can supply. He doesn't have any iota of doubt that if God will deliver. So he goes about doing his God's business, irrespective of the supply. I just found out, of all my classmates, we are only two that are in the ministry now. So once in a while I visit my other classmates in Abuja to encourage him. Every time I come, he will say, "Pastor, there is no money in ministry." That the other day we had so number 412. The offering that came was 9,000. For the past 5, I told him, you got 9,000. Kai, Abuja is better. He doesn't understand. He doesn't know that for long my family has lived on 33,000. $33,000 thereabout is actually the expenditure. I've discovered there are different kinds of soup. There's some kind of soup you can cook with 4,500 for 7 people. Are you with me? Meanwhile, I started receiving more than 1 million as salary for in 6 years ago. Right? Are you with me? But it is spent before it comes. Spent. So have we lived for 11 years. And my classmate just did 5 years. He's complaining. I said, you have not started this journey. Go and evaluate why you are on this journey. Because the prescription is to keep first the kingdom. And if you are not a wholesome person inside and you have confidence in your father, you cannot do this. You can't carry out this errand. No, you can't. Me and my wife came and decided that we will carry this ministry as long as we are alive. Right? And we carried it for 7 years. Paid all the bills. Paid everything. All the poor. Everything. Paid for 7 years. It's after 7 years that God now sent help. But we were so used to it that we continued. Are you with me? Maybe you are serving God and you are spending your money. He's spending you. You need the capsule to help you out. We are not serving God because we don't have any other thing to do. No. It's a privilege. Yes. It's a major privilege. And you cannot serve Him without faith. You'll be a creature that will be a victim of the handiwork of anxiety. Seven years later, people now said, and not the people I'm pastoring. Somebody heard my message in London. That's when I started seeing a million offering. But I've been giving millions since. But it was 4 years ago that I started seeing a million. Somebody will say amen. 2 years ago, it became better. If you want to raise 10 million, it can come in 2 weeks. But it was not like that before. The reason why I was positive was because I had confidence in my father. If you can stop anxiety, you will be a mighty man of prayer. You know, I told you yesterday, 2 weeks, about, not up to 2 weeks ago, somebody gave me 1.5 million. I go, these are people that I've not preached to. Do you understand? 1.5, 2 million, 3 million. So, you can, you know that my salary that used to be a major factor in ministry support for 2 years now, we have not had need for it because the supplies that came were more than my salary. Jesus has conveniently proven to me that he can take me without my salary. So if you hear that I quit government work now, don't pray for me, then I say have mercy on him. I'm okay. But you see, you will never come to that point where you are sustained if you are operating the orphaned philosophy. The only way you can impress the God that knows is that you have faith in him. I believe you. I believe you. And you will not just say it with your mouth, or you say it with your life. I believe you, that's why I'm going. I've not seen anything, I believe you, that's why I'm moving. If that kind of a man that goes first for the kingdom, if he decides to pray, don't trouble him. Don't trouble him. He has to forget himself for him to go. He has to forget about his own immediate needs for him to meet. He is confident of his father. If his father decides, do you understand, to delay for 12 years, he's righteous. He is settled in his heart about the capacity of his father. And the Bible says that Sarah received strength to bring forth because she judged him faithful who had promised. That's a barren woman that was barren as a teenager, had entered into menopause. Countless years, she received strength because he said, when my God wants to do it, he will do it. I settled that with him, so he has the prerogative of the choice of city that will make it more spectacular to the glory of his name. It was not a burden to her. A burden person is not a tool for intercession. What the devil did is that he made the believers burdened, so that our voices, even though it sounds corporately loud, it doesn't make a corporate effect in heaven. A strange time. It was Catholic Church that did simple prayer book. A compendium of vain repetitions in those days. Now Pentecostal churches have complex prayer books. And the idea of prayer being prosecuted through those books is still the cyclical illusion of vain repetition. When will you wake up and believe that your father is not a man that he should lie? If you are right there, you are ready for prayer. Your prayer life will be potent. It will avail. Because you have used your life to prove that your God cannot lie. You are not bothered whether the things you believe him for have not yet manifested, but you are about his business. Aye. Anxiety has been knocked off. The only thing you leave is to prosecute the will for which he created you, that which you were apprehended for in Christ Jesus. The seek ye first the kingdom of God and this righteousness. You know what was wrong with the expectations of that my pastor friend? He's thinking that God will begin to minister to him financially through his congregation. Who told you that's the way it works? I followed him until I saw that he could take a man beyond his salary. I've seen that. Then when I confirmed that in 2 years time, are you with me? Huh? Okay, you see that we put air conditioning units. It was a politician that came. I said, Pastor, you are doing a great job here. What can we do to help the ministry? Glory. I said, as you can see, this city we are in is called Makodi. And the temperature, this is the temperature band. Because of that, these prayer people need air conditioning. How much is that? 10 units, 2 million. Generator to power it, 2 million, 5,000. That's how much? 4 million, 5,000. Politician escaped. He ran away. So I now went to God and said, can you strengthen me to put air conditioning units and buy a generator? That's how I started. It was not a lead, you know. It's a challenge. And I borrowed 2 million and bought the AC system. Then my brother-in-law in Canada heard that I was doing a project and then now gave me 2,000,000 to buy the generator. Wait. When we installed it, and I went back to God and said, we fixed AC now and your people are happy. That was my prayer point. Your people. You know, I discovered that he loves his people. Some of them are thieves, some of them are rogues, but he loves them. Hey. So I went and reported to him that they are happy. 14 days later, he said, open an account with Zenith Bank. Anywhere you go, if anybody asks you, give me your account number, give them that one. So I preached in the East. One man crawled from the back and came to me and said, Pastor, anywhere you are going, I want to sponsor your trip. I said, hey, ask for account number. Went to Lagos, preached. Three ladies came and said, do you have an account number? So I kept giving like that until it came to pass that account, before we finish this service, I would have had two alerts there. I'm so sure, because for 2 years it has not failed. The money that accumulates there is more than the salary I earn in government. Eventually God showed me that he could sustain a man beyond the work of his hands, just like the birds of the air that do not need to sow or reap or gather into barns. Where did you keep your faith? That place where you kept your faith, tonight you are going to reach back to that place and you will give it back, because that is the currency with which you will begin to do business with God in the spirit. When you begin to realize that God is a God that when he speaks, he ought to be obeyed, you are becoming powerful. Because any time a carrier of light is defeated by the servant of darkness, if a witch to fight you, and then you become the casualty, because that witch is more submitted to Satan than you are to God. When you start obeying God, you start becoming powerful. When you collide with darkness, it is the strength of obedience that will be revealed. Are you with me? Because it's possible for darkness to conquer light. You are a messenger of light, you are not educated in light. And somebody is a messenger of darkness and the person is educated in darkness, you'll be subdued. Yes. Have you seen Christians that battled with witches and became paralyzed? They don't even know light. Have you starved light? Have you starved light? The kingdom of light. Have you heard his voice and you were willing to obey that voice for the rest of your life. When you turn to darkness, then we flee before the battle. We finished a mighty meeting. I could feel demons. The demons didn't wait for us to enter prayer time. When I was preaching, they began to leave. Because as I was preaching, people started getting healed. We had not started praying. Healing began to break out. Terrible cases began to break out. Healing. 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 Everywhere. I said, this is a great day. So when I now started praying, because I saw that there was so much angelic presence, so I said, take your phone, call anybody that is sick anywhere in the world and leave the phone running. We had more cripples walking through phone than cripples that were present in the hall in different places. One was bedridden in our Abuja here. Woke up that night and began to walk. The doctors, because she was a writer, she was a vegetable, they were just managing her with machines. All kinds of miracles began to take place. Then we finished the meeting and I came back home and I laid on my bed. So the light of the room was switched off. But the light to the bathroom was on and the door was a little bit open. I'm not sleeping now. Then I see a woman standing in that light and facing this direction. So I was seeing her like this. She was there for 35 minutes. Visible woman. Tying her shoke here to this place. And she was just standing there. Very clear. This is not a vision. I have seen visions before. This one I'm seeing light. And she was there. She never turned like this. Look at me. She just gave me the sign. And I was watching. It was 35 minutes. Then she did like this. And she disappeared. Now, for many of you, you will rise up and pray till daybreak. Only God can make me do all night. Only God. Yes, only God can say, come on, stand up! I'll stand up. When she left, I slept home. You get it? Then, when I went to the Tunstuka and demons were leaving people, that same woman again, only my wife was at home, she appeared there again. And my wife could not sleep. Because if she wants to sleep, the woman will come like a cloud. She'll wake up. Then she went and took, you know this MP3 player, and put my tape there. So the tape was playing. So the woman could not come in. So that she slept under the cloud of that tape. She now comes and says, that crusade you went for, what happened there? I had to train her because the meetings I was going for was implicating her. They came many times to kill her. I said, the way this thing works is that we need to trust God to train her in the spirit. Train her in war. Train her in battle. We know. You know, Papa said something that he has. The distance between him and the devil is comfortable. It's comfortable. It's okay. He can be there, no problem. He's comfortable. That's where I learned that one from. Should I tell you something?
There are people that Satan cannot kill. He has is nurturing the ambition, but the power, the ability has not been given unto him. When we begin to pray, I know that Satan must go back. God has sentenced all of us to a life of faith, because prayer requires faith. You will first have faith in your God established in your life before you can become a man of prayer. Oh ye of little faith. It was their faith that Jesus was addressing that was insufficient, that was responsible for the fact that their prayers became vain repetitions. If you are a man of faith, there are sometimes God even answers your thoughts. You begin to think about something, and before you finish thinking about it, the thing has happened. If you are a man of faith, has it happened to you before? You were thinking about something and you just finished thinking, and then the thing happened. Faith. Tonight we are going to pray. The prayer is simple. We are asking God. We are saying, we believe, help thou our unbelief. Help thou my unbelief. Help thou my unbelief. If this prayer is answered, your life will change. You come to a point where anxiety can no longer play with your mind. That's when we are becoming a people of power. Can we pray that prayer? Because I'm almost out of time. We can't jump beyond this point anymore. Prayer is the child of faith in God. And he will come. For the Bible says, say to him that is of a fearful heart, thy God cometh. He will come and save you. Can you rise on your feet as we pray? The prayer point is simple. Help thou my unbelief. Our God is able. He has the capacity. He wants to take you far beyond the distance that you have designed for yourself. But you cannot do this by your own understanding. You can only walk this length by faith. And God needs to help us to walk on our unbelief and to blot it out. Let the powers of anxiety, the spirits familiar that seek to come and bring distractions to us, so that in our eyes God is discredited. God doesn't have the credibility to bring to pass the things that he has said. Can we say to God tonight and say, oh God, we bind every walking of anxiety, every familiar spirit that has been monitoring us, releasing thoughts into our head, such thoughts that we are believing that has constituted a barricade in our spiritual business with you. Tonight we ask for grace. Come now, our unbelief. Let a man of faith arise from within me. People that believe enough to obey God when he speaks. The kind of men that are perfect and powerful in the place of prayer, because obedience has been modeled in their life. Adam modeled the principle of rebellion time to take our journey. The intention of God is that at least some of us become as strong as David. Is so my habaita.